On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 here at Hubbard Radio in Seattle. You might be listening on the East Coast of the United States on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network through your television, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be so glad you joined us because I've got a very special guest, and this guest is in studio. But before I share with you who he is, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear all these conversations, the wonderful Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hey, good morning, good day, Christine. Oh, that's right. The hawk is back.
Ah, and why is the hawk back?
Because it's the start of football season.
Oh, yes,
sorry,
yes.
I had to. Wait, I'm just going to do it once and
no,
get it over with.
And I love you for it, but we've got this major disconnect. It's like, football, what?
Well, because we were both on vacation last week, apparently.
We were.
Like we were, well, we weren't together. In the same area, we might
have
been.
We could be starting rumors here, Benny.
I just wanted to see what everybody would say.
Yeah.
We were on different islands.
We were, yes. And it was a beautiful time to be in the islands.
Yep.
Yes.
Hope your trip was fun. I actually helped a friend DJ and officiate a wedding.
Wonderful.
So it was good times up there on Whidbey Island, and I think you were a little further north.
Yes, I was on Orcas, and I was with my boys.
Good.
And, you know, when they get older, it's hard to sort of have vacation time, you know.
Yeah, but you have that moment that you always want to keep forever, right?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. So I'm so grateful for that. And
perfect.
I'm really grateful for my guest today. I have to tell you, you know, Benny, about I counted the years. I think about a quarter century ago, I was listening to a concert in San Michele Winery of one of my favorite artists. I had his CD. I would play the CD over and over again. And he happened to be coming to Seattle in an outdoor concert that I got to see him. And I was just like awestruck. Great performer. And that's who's sitting next to me right now. And we've since interacted in a variety of ways. But, you know, it's so cool because you never know where life's going to lead you.
Are you going to, like, be able to contain yourself?
Oh, I am.
Are you a little starstruck,
apparently? You know, in a way, yeah. But, you know, I deal with the Greg Bradens and Barbara Marx Hubbards of the world. So I don't get easily starstruck. But if I had told my earlier self, you know, my younger self, that I would eventually be sitting here with Michael Tomlinson, she would have been so excited. But I'm still excited. And I tell you.
You are.
He is a wonderful musician. His first album was Run This Way Forever that he released in the late 1980s when he was probably two, I think. Anyway, it sold over 100,000 copies and fabulous, fabulous album. And he went with a series of L.A.-based labels and he had a top 10 hit of Dawning on a New Day. And then he made a choice. It's really interesting. We're going to be talking to Michael about this choice he made in the mid-1990s to leave the traditional music industry and basically go out on his own. And I tell you, Michael has a whole lot of fans because his latest CD, which is just amazing, it's called House of Sky. He reached out to his fans and said, you know what? I want to do this, but I want to do this in a way that's in integrity with who I am. Will you help me put together this CD? And sure enough, his fans came through, and actually, I think he had an extra $20,000. So people absolutely adored him and wanted to support him on his journey, and now he's supporting others through this new CD. And I tell you, he's even got a story about this CD, a song on the CD, and a connection with a former president of the United States. I would like to welcome to the studio Michael Tomlinson. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Christine. Nice to be here.
It's so nice to see you here. And I really appreciate what you've been doing over the last, I guess it's more than quarter of a century.
Oh, yeah.
And I really respect some of the choices that you've made along the way. And I know, you know, back in the mid-90s, I remember being on your e-blast list. Even back then, we had the internet, didn't we? And you were making the choice to step away from the traditional music labels. Why did you do that?
Well, it's a long story, but it is a similar one to what many artists have had, which is once you belong to a label, they don't treat you the same way they do when they're asking you to sign.
Oh.
It's just an old story. It goes in many industries. But I would say the main thing was this. Somewhere along the way, it occurred to me that the music business is not about music.
Uh-huh.
It's only about business.
Wow.
And it very literally was. And I could appreciate that it's partly about that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I couldn't simply just be a tool used the way they wanted me to be used, play where they wanted me to play who they want me to play with,
uh-huh.
you know, be engineered by this guy or that guy. I had to make those choices myself because the music came organically from me.
Uh-huh.
So I just left them, and I was very, very fortunate in that I had a rare forgotten clause in my contract, which almost no new artists ever have, and that was a performance clause. And if the record label failed in any areas of what they promised to perform,
uh-huh.
I could walk away and retain ownership of all my records.
Wow.
So I did that. So to this day, it's amazing that I own all my albums, all my copyrights, uh-huh. and my publishing. You almost can't find that anywhere. Unless someone started in the last 10 years, you don't see
right,
that.
Right. And so somebody was watching out for you.
No doubt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you made that choice to you know, leave and go on your own in the mid-90s. Was it easy?
No. I was filled with grief for quite some time. You mentioned the shows like the Sam Michelle show.
Uh-huh.
In that time period, I had been headlining the Greek Amphitheater in L.A., the Universal Amphitheater, beautiful theaters from coast to coast, and having great crowds of thousands
right.
of people.
Oh, yeah. You drew big crowds.
It was really exciting, and anyone would want to keep doing that.
Right.
But when I left the industry, it coincided almost exactly with something that happened that the general public hardly knows about, and that is that the U.S. Congress deregulated radio. Until that time, no one could own more than 14 stations.
Uh-huh.
Well, they took the limit completely off, and within a couple of years, one station bought 1,300 stations.
Wow.
Changed it all. Hundreds and hundreds of artists, many that I knew that were often played on the radio, uh-huh. had no radio play anymore.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Without that radio play, you can't find. That actually was just before email. I mean, it existed,
right,
but generally
right.
people didn't have it. And so you had a choice. Did you have a hard list of your mailing list? And
uh-huh.
could you? And I did. At that time, I had 20,000 people.
Right.
And, you know, it's quite expensive to send out 20,000 paper newsletters.
Right.
But I did that for a while. What was really hard is when you lose all that radio play, how do you find those people in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
and Denver and Minneapolis and L.A.?
Right.
That was so hard. It's easier now in many respects to find people because you have online networks, social networks, and,
mm-hmm.
And I have a large mailing list.
Oh, sure.
But so I went through a lot of grief there for
right.
a few years
right.
because I felt sorry for myself not getting to play those big gigs anymore.
I get that.
And so I had to go through a period of my own healing about that.
Right.
Until I came around to appreciating the tremendous flexibility and freedom I had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was along about that time I started also doing retreats a couple of weekends a year.
Right.
And that sort of was just an extension of my music. My music was included. But I went from having that, you know, star rising up and coming mm-hmm. potential star to being someone that was just one more guy with a guitar.
Right.
And so I would not say I didn't suffer a little bit for a
right.
while.
And it's interesting that you talk about that in that way because I had to make a similar choice. I had a very prestigious role teaching thousands a certain type of healing. And there were aspects of it that I absolutely loved. It was absolutely beautiful. But there was philosophy that I was to teach as truth that I did not agree with. And I had to make the choice. Do I step into my integrity and leave the, you know, the masses, so to speak?
Yes.
Or you know, do I continue on? And I made the same choice and probably went through some of the same things. But I don't know about you, but for me, I would never do it a different way. Would you go back and do it the same way, given what you know now about not being able to reach as many people initially?
Of course not. I wouldn't, because I appreciate my life now.
Yeah.
But also, if I could just say about what you went through, you know, that's a very distinctive thing when you are specifically given methods or a certain kind of content to teach, which you cannot teach.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I also would just have to walk away. I'm not even sure it would come to being a choice.
Uh-huh.
It would almost be, you know, is it a choice to not reach out and touch a hot stove or not?
Right.
You can't do it,
right.
You know, and
but
I think I couldn't teach what I don't believe in.
Yeah. And you're in integrity with your true self. And that's one of the things that I admire about you. And we're going to get into more of that. We have to go to a quick break, but we'll talk after the break, Michael, about the role of integrity and creativity and the ripple effect it has in our lives when we follow our true self. More with Michael Tomlinson in a few moments.
My friend, I hear a lot about you all the way out here. We used to tell each other every little tear and every dream we dreamed these days.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Trust it will find its way to you. All the love that ever was is still right here, and we only ever had to breathe it. favorite human near. But if you wait too long for me to even hear your voice.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. That beautiful voice is Michael Tomlinson, and he is here in studio. You know, Michael, before the break, we were talking about making difficult choices to be in integrity with who we are and our values. What effect does that have ultimately on, say, your creative flow?
Well, you know, it's one thing for us to talk about these concepts. So in our own personal lives, I don't think we always articulate it quite that way.
Uh-huh.
But there is a certain joy when you do, when your integrity is growing. There's a certain joy in you, more natural way that you have. And for me, that's the start of creativity. It's when you rest into who you are, and that's when you really hear things. That's when you really imagine things. That's when you really tie things together. Sparks go off.
Uh-huh.
And so I've always been creative my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But something in the last 10 or 15 years that has been such a surprise is the depth of it. And I would say that comes from being present. I'm able to be very, very present in many kinds of situations.
Uh-huh.
And the overall, I think, in my whole life. But there's always further to go with that.
Right.
But I am able to have things happen. I can sit down to write a story or work on the lyrics of a song, and 10 minutes later I will look at that in awe that this not only that I did it,
mm-hmm.
take that away as if I'm just reading it that someone did it, I'll be stunned at how good it is.
Uh-huh.
And that is a really beautiful place to reach in your creativity.
Yeah.
Where you simply recognize that something magnificent is happening before your eyes and you are somehow doing it or participating in it. At the same time, you can't exactly take credit for it.
Right.
You know the feeling? It's sort of
yes.
like if you have friends are talking and you're the one that thinks of a funny interjection and
right.
everyone dies laughing.
Uh-huh.
It's the wittiest thing said, but you're not sure you masterminded it. It
right.
just was a spark you happened to grab.
Yes, it's a part of the flow of the conversation, of you know, the dynamic of what's occurring. Yeah. That's
yeah.
a beautiful way to say it.
Well, it's, and so now in mentioning integrity, of course, that's, you know, I come to see that in a different way through the years. It's imperfect
mm-hmm.
in us all. And that gives us something to do our entire lives.
Oh, I like that. We're always going to have something to work on because we're always not yeah. completely aligned with it then.
And I will never say that I'm just real solid with integrity.
Uh-huh.
I have more and more integrity.
Yeah.
But there are rough places around the edges. There are gaps. And many of those come up in a moment you didn't expect. You didn't think you were going to lie about something, but someone asked you something and you instantaneously
yeah.
don't
yeah.
tell the truth about it.
And
you think of yourself as a truthful person, but there are many of these instances in our lives where we're really not. And instead of being hard on ourselves about that, just notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Just notice that that's the case.
And I think, Michael, for me, one of the things that I've come to realize that where I've been out of integrity in terms of the truth is I haven't been telling the truth to myself about certain things. And that has been so illuminating, you know, because if I'm lying to myself, then how can I be in that flow to show up in my magnificence in whatever way that's going to be in that moment, in that day, in my life, if I'm not honest with myself?
I think that is where it all begins, isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's the thing that keeps us humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one can look in the mirror and say, I'm a pure person of integrity and great truth. You can't do it. You hold that sometimes, uh-huh. and you feel good when you do, and sometimes you don't. But I keep reiterating this. That is not a place to bring in guilt
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
or remorse or judgment on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not a need for it. It's unnecessary. So just notice, oh, yeah, I didn't do that with the integrity I would like to do it if I were going to do it now. Think of that, hold the idea, and then move on. And it starts to happen in your life.
Yeah, and you're talking about no need for self-judgment. Well, you told a beautiful story on Facebook the other day about when you tried to let go of judgment in a situation where when you were seated in a cafe. Can you please share with our listeners that story?
Because
it's beautiful.
Really, wow. I went about that totally opposite from the way I was shown once I started.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been on a plane and you hear an infant start to cry?
Uh-huh.
And you might close your eyes and send light and love to that infant.
Sure.
You know, I think many people do try some version of that. And so I sat down at this patio at a restaurant, and there was a man sitting right next to me with a woman at a table, and he was speaking in a loud, monotone, almost robotic voice, which was kind of obnoxious sounding to my ear.
Right.
It was. It was hard to listen to.
Particularly bad for a musician who really appreciates good sound.
Sorry, next time I'll keep it down. My bad.
I was describing it as if someone was sitting on the seat next to you talking on a cell phone and it was a robot talking. Mm. That's what this sounded like. It was this woman said nothing. The man spoke for 30 minutes or 40 minutes.
Well, and so she was just listening the whole time.
The whole story was about his many years, trials and tribulations with cancer, only the scientific version.
Oh,
so I'm sitting there wanting to scream as he's talking about data. Uh-huh. And tests, but he never does. He never touches anything emotional.
Yep. Yep.
So it's getting to me, much like that kind of one-sided cell phone can get to you if someone's doing a business call or something. And so I just lay my paper down, and I close my eyes, and I'm thinking at first like I would with that baby, send him some light.
So you're able to transition from the annoyance, right?
Well, that happened next because here's what I saw. It wasn't about sending him light.
Mm-hmm.
It was about noticing my irritation.
Love it.
I was feeling irritated, which is a judgment, which is, you know, he has in some way infringed upon my space or something like that.
Right.
I don't know what you'd call it. But it was an astonishing moment when I saw, oh, I just need to find that soft place, that soft, soulful place in me. The instant I had that thought, it started happening. I kept my eyes closed. No one passing by would have necessarily known anything was going on. My food was sitting out, paper in my lap, but I just had my eyes closed. After a short time, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, I actually felt that peace that can come when you really are focused in that way and you ask to just be soft and let go of your rigidity. And when I got to that place, I asked him to join me silently. I just said, you know, let this peace move to him too. And in that instant, I hear this man's voice get louder. And what I know happened was he turned around to look at me while he's talking.
Oh, my gosh.
We had our backs together.
So
and
he felt something.
When he turns back around for the first time, in the 30 minutes he's been talking, he goes, he gets lost. He says, he had never done that the whole time. I almost laughed. I was so astonished because I just recognized, wow, I went into this peaceful place in myself, a loving place, and I invited him there. And that's how I did it.
Right.
I didn't go trying to change someone's life.
Right.
I didn't go trying to take something from someone. I invited him into his space, seeing that it was me that had the irritation going on. So within a few minutes, their conversation comes to the end, and he had a few more of those moments. And then he ends it like a friendly neighbor. His voice was higher. It was kind of nice and soothing. And then they got up to leave. And then for the first time, I looked at him, and as they're leaving, and I saw a transformation there. He left just not at all that robotic thing of data and tests and details and science, but just feeling and laughing. So it was a pretty profound experience for me to do that.
That's absolutely beautiful. And it, on some level, I think that one of the highest things we can offer other people is acceptance of where they're at. And so, you know, when I hear you tell that story, it's like you worked on getting yourself centered, but you were no longer resisting where he was coming from.
Yeah. That, and that really was news to me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even think of my own resistance.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. I really, I was quite moved by that.
And as the healer, I wonder, you know, I mean, I think of everything in terms of vibration. There you were, you know, vibrating this acceptance of him, this sense of inner peace that you offered to him, not forced upon him, not said, okay, I'm going to project this onto you because you need it sort of thing, but rather allowing him to be a part of it if he so chose. And I wonder what kind of effect that had on his physical body, on his emotions. You know, who was he after he left that table?
It absolutely softened him. And I, you know, I don't know that that's all that it was, but it was so very distinctive that I had no problem understanding the correlation, much in the same as it might be for you sometime when in a time of stress, a friend puts their hand on your shoulder. Uh-huh. And a lot of your stress leaves.
Yes.
I think that might have happened for him whenever I came from a loving place instead of a judgment of thinking only, have this guy shut up.
Right.
Instead of that space, I noticed, I'm really resisting this man. I'm feeling all this negativity about him.
Yeah.
Wow, that was, you know, you learn things about yourself every day, but that was news to me.
Yeah. I just love that. So beautiful. We'll be back in a few moments. More with Michael Tomlinson.
From old Savannah, you can drive 200 miles. Or from Atlanta, just about 2 hours time. To the plains where I was born. Where my daddy had a farm, the year of 1924.
Called the Oprah of Radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information, and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do,
for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
There's not an acre any sweeter on this earth than the land we ran barefoot in every summer. Me and Nadine had it all. We'd walk the rails and we'd never fall. We lived our boyhoods in the Georgia sun. For years I'd dream upon the gleaming silver tracks.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. You're listening to Michael Tomlinson, Seeds of Love. That's a beautiful song, Michael.
Thank you.
What's that song about?
Well, I'm so happy with that song. It's about Jimmy Carter's life, President Carter's life.
Uh-huh.
And I had been asked to write a song as a tribute for an event being held in his honor in Atlanta. And I was thrilled at the opportunity because I have appreciated him and honored him for most of my life.
He's an amazing human being.
He is. You know, I consider Jimmy Carter our most prominent humanitarian of our country.
Uh-huh.
When you think about it, for
yes.
40, 50 years, this man keeps going country to country to country.
And he's in his 90s now.
Work. Yes.
Still, right? Yeah.
Yes.
He's still at it.
He's still at it. Well, I wasn't sure how to write the song, and I only had 3 weeks for this event. And for me, that's crazy because I often take a year to write a song.
Sure.
But I found one of his books called An Hour Before Daylight about his boyhood on the farm in Plains where the Seaboard Airline Railroad went past his house. And as soon as I started reading that book, I found my way into the song. And it was one of the most beautiful, moving experiences of my life over that 3 weeks to write that song. I would sometimes write a line and cry.
Uh-huh.
I'd be so moved, particularly in the lines that had to do with him and Rosalind. I would wake up in the middle of the night and write a line down. I had never done that before. So I wanted that song on this album. A little while after hearing the song, I wasn't sure if Jimmy himself would actually hear it. A little while after hearing it, Jimmy wrote me a beautiful personal letter. And it really touched me that he did that. I was not expecting that. I thought I might hear from someone, Jimmy really likes that song,
right,
you know.
Right.
But it was really beautiful. And so I included that on this album, and it's really one of the cornerstone songs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just beautiful, and it's really clear in all of your songs that you put your heart into it. And what I love about your music, the lyrics to your songs, you actually expose yourself, your mm-hmm. heart, your frailty, your process, and what's it like becoming aware, dealing with the issues in your life, and then putting that into lyrics in your songs?
Well, I've always done it, but I tend to do it more now, more literally. Not that there's never something that's just imaginative in a song, because as you're writing, you're meshing together emotions and experiences from your lifetime, plus the life you've imagined,
right,
plus the longing you have.
Uh-huh.
So all those flow together. But I would say it would probably surprise people how very literal many, many lines in my songs are.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes friends who were a part of it or someone I was in a relationship with at the time will be astonished that I captured that day.
Uh-huh.
And there's you mentioned being on Orcas. I was staying at Ship's Bay Inn, you know where that's at, and with my girlfriend at the time, and this fellow that was running the place had told us one day. He said, "Hey, sometimes the fishermen, after he provides for the cafe, he will throw the fish carcass off the cliff, and we'll get to watch this eagle come down and get it.
Right.
And so one day we're coming back from hiking or something. He says, "Hey, I got a fish carcass." And this other couple heard that and had no idea why we seemed so happy about that. Oh, good. That'll be some stock for our porridge or something. But... but we went to the edge of the cliff. He throws it off, and these seagulls and crows are all over it. And he says, "Just wait." And about just to rub it in that I am the mighty eagle, the eagle waits and then lifts off from the tree, does a big loop, comes down, and of course all the other birds scatter.
Right.
It goes down and grabs that carcass and takes it back up to the tree.
Oh, that's
well, that found its way into my song,
yes.
House of Sky. That's, you know, people said, not many people will sing about dead fish carcass in a love song, which I think is a mistake. I think more people should. So sometimes there's these very literal things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've lost my thought.
Thinking about fish right now. Or lunch.
It doesn't happen
lunch.
Very often on my radio show. But the fish carcass did it. Yeah. But I was reading the lyrics to all your songs because I've listened to your music several times, but I really like to see it written down. And one of the things that struck me beyond the fish carcass was the fact that you talk about rain and you talk about wind a lot within your music. And sometimes it's literal and sometimes it's not. Why do you choose to do that?
Well, first of all, I think that particularly rain, I believe, is an eternal symbol for cleansing and healing.
Uh-huh.
So that is used in movies and books and poetry and song. And it's just a natural one for me, too.
Uh-huh.
I was raised in the Texas Panhandle where there's not much rain. And when it is rain, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it just really filled my early songs. And then as I came to the Northwest, where we have more rain, it just naturally is a place to go in my songs.
Uh-huh.
There's always a lot of natural elements, landscapes, seasons, and weather in my songs. And I use them as the palette, really. And I think the older I get, too, I can remember a few years back, I was reaching that place in my life where we've seen so much. We've seen so many storylines in movies and TV.
Right.
It's harder for me to find real quality in music, in movies, in books. It's hard for me to find as many things that have a beating heart. It takes something very, very special for me now. When you're younger, because you haven't seen it all before.
Right. Yeah.
You accept a lot more things that when you get older, you know, you'll go back and listen to that album that was your favorite. And you'll still like some songs, but you'll think, those were kind of weak, really. I wouldn't listen to those songs now.
Oh, yeah.
And as I was thinking this about how as you get older, I think particularly if you're becoming more soulful and more focused, more present, that the elements themselves, the weather, has more to do with nourishing me and replenishing me than any movie I can go see or most songs I could listen to or most books I could read. So sometimes just to simply be present, to go out in my yard and sit under the walnut tree and take it in and just be with it, sometimes that feeds my soul more than almost any man-made thing we could find.
Sure. Well, nature is magnificent.
Yes. So, and
you talk about being present, and when we're present in nature, it seems to expand my senses, so to speak. It's and you know that helps to shift me in a big way in terms of, you know, when I sort of exit nature into a building or whatever. I breathe differently.
I
perceive differently. And so it's helpful for me.
I often talk about trying to share this concept with people for their own peace. I often talk about using nature. It's there to heal.
Mm-hmm.
It's there to take care of all our needs.
Right.
And so if you can, I remember one day I was out walking across near Green Lake, and I saw this tree. And of course, many times, as many of us have done, you'll reach out and touch the bark of a tree,
sure,
or just touch the trunk itself, or
sure,
hold a branch. I just have always been drawn to that. But this one day, I had this different view than I'd ever had before. The leaf was a really beautiful shape, and I pressed it between both my palms.
Uh-huh.
And I had the sensation that it was imprinting upon me a higher intelligence that is in nature. That by my pausing with it,
uh-huh,
and just acknowledging it and holding that leaf between my palms,
uh-huh,
it was imprinting upon me something beyond my understanding. That was an exchange of life and high spiritual intelligence.
Wow.
I think I've experienced that once eating a plum from a tree,
uh-huh,
where I took a bite of it and it stopped me in my tracks. I felt sparks go off in my mind,
uh-huh,
and my whole being. I looked back at that tree. If anyone had been watching, it was just in the, it was in the parking strip, you know, in front of a house.
Right.
And I'm looking up there, and it was the only plum I could reach. There were plums at the top of that tree.
Sure.
I stood like a little kid under that tree for 10 minutes trying to find another plum, because that plum was like, it was something about it, uh-huh, was more than flavor. It was,
right,
brilliant flavor, but it was like light was in it.
Yes. And, you know, I've had that experience with eating certain types of food, not types, but certain pieces of food when we're talking about produce, where all of a sudden, like, I'm very sensitive energetically, my crown chakra will open up, and it'll be like this tingly,
that's
creepy
it,
crawly feeling. It's kind of like, whoa, there's something about this that is shifting my, not only my physicality,
yes,
but also my energy field.
I think that day was the first time I experienced it in such a way that said, this is how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it was for thousands of years. The nutrients that were instilled in all of nature,
mm-hmm,
fed us. The wind fed us. The stars fed us.
Yes, yes.
The rippling water fed us. You know, waters, many Native American cultures and probably many others beyond, have long practiced putting prayer into water,
uh-huh,
and drinking the water and understanding that this was healing.
And, of course, Masaru Emoto did a lot of research about that, with the effects that the prayer or the intent has,
yes,
on water. And you have to wonder about what effect that has,
yes,
on us as individuals. When
I don't even wonder.
It.
I know that's right.
Yes, yes.
As to the degree that I wonder, who knows?
Uh-huh, right.
But I know that's right.
We have to go to another quick break, but more with Michael Tomlinson when we return here in just a few moments.
Photograph of the world and the way you see it. How could anybody ever capture so much light?
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing.
All of the products are always organically grown, fair traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Standing in this house of sky, you look around at the falling autumn glory. Think of all you know and let it roll away. Rearrange the way you tell that old story. Start again.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. That is Michael Tomlinson, and his latest CD is House of Sky. And if you're interested in connecting with Michael, there are a couple of different ways. First of all, Michael, what's your website?
MichaelTomlinson.com.
Can you spell it?
T-O-M-L-I-N-S-O-N.
Yeah.
And then you can find me on Facebook also under that name.
And you've got fabulous stuff that you write about on Facebook. And it's funny because you and I have known each other for a while. And yes, we've interacted since that time 25 years ago when you were up on stage. And I've always appreciated who you are. And it's very evident in the songs that you write. Not only that you're very creative, but you're very thoughtful. But there's something about your musings, your writings on Facebook that are just so much fun to follow. So I encourage people to connect with Michael on Facebook and follow, because you're a great storyteller.
Thank you. You can tell I really, really have fun with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's evolved, you know. I first got on there simply to tell stories about concerts. And that gave me, you know, I looked at it as sort of a milestone. You have a marker for people to find my website. That's
right.
What I thought it was. Many of us did. But then it became such a great place to write and play and have fun. And I put a lot of humor there.
Right.
Something I've done for a few years that I just love is I find these vintage photos. I become those people and I write the story about them.
Right.
And it's really opened up something in me about it's. They are funny, but a lot of times they're very deeply moving.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's really dark humor in there.
Right.
It's such a beautiful mix of things, and it feels like such a palette, an open palette to just do what I wish with it. And people have responded so beautifully to it.
Oh yeah, it's fun to watch. Like, you posted something where you tagged me, and I had just gotten onto Facebook. I was waiting for a ferry at the time, and all of a sudden, you know, I realized all these people are responding and connecting with you, and you've got some great following because you talk about interesting things. You are
self-reflective. And it seems to me that, and I started the same way with Facebook. I thought, well, this is a great way to sort of promote my business. Mm-hmm. And now it's really a matter of showing up with my heart.
Yeah.
And so given what's going on in the world right now, what's your advice to people in terms of how they perceive what's in the media, how they choose what they pay attention to, and how social media is important to our evolution?
Wow, that's a lot.
It is a lot.
I don't know about the advice part. I'm not particularly a big advice giver. Mm-hmm. I will often share stories about my outlook and my experience. I'm sometimes slow to respond to things that are happening in the world. In other words, I don't hop on there that day that someone died or that some revelation has come or some scandal. I let it settle in me for a while. Mm-hmm. I may end up never writing about it at all, but then when I do, it's found its own path through me. And so my insights are more about the humanity.
Right.
And not about the false narratives that are being created constantly.
There are so many false narratives, including in mainstream news, as the alternative news. It's
absolutely.
Like you have to be careful what you believe, what you put your energy into.
Well, and they do it because we all jump on there and say, amen, amen, yes, that's right.
Right.
You know, and we all do that with our cell phones, and we all do that with our computers and with our social networks. And it's almost like people want to be the first one to tell you bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew it first. I'm the first one who saw the collision that killed 25 people.
Right.
Here it is.
Oh, yeah.
Not that you can do anything about it except your evening is ruined because someone decided to stick one more thing on there that no one can do anything about.
Yes, exactly.
Here's what I feel ultimately, that one person can make a difference. What you post.
Mm-hmm.
I often say to people, your Facebook page is a billboard.
Right.
Is that really what you want to put on a billboard?
Yeah.
If that was out here by the freeway and maybe your kids could see it or your neighbors could see it.
Uh-huh.
Because they can.
Right.
They can
absolutely.
See it.
Absolutely.
Whether they're your friend or not, things get changed, shared, things get screenshots are made and people, you know, it's not likely to be secretive. You know, you think your boss isn't going to find out what you posted about work on there? That's likely to happen.
And I really think that how you choose your friends on social media or who you choose as friends on social media is really important, too, because that's what you're going to get exposed to if you're going to get onto social media. And my 21-year-old son has a certain experience. He talks about all the terrible things on social media. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I see all this inspirational stuff. I think we have a different kind of friend, you know.
That's a part of it. And, you know, I have a huge number of people write and tell me flat out, you are the only page I go to on Facebook.
Oh, wow. That says a lot.
Because they just don't want to wade through the other stuff, but they do like to go. I've been really surprised how many people tell me I'm the last thing they do before they go to bed at night. They go to read whatever I wrote that day.
So you know,
I look at that as... it's an honor and a responsibility.
Right.
Am I going to put something that's not life-giving up there? Am I going to put something that is not gently heart-opening or gives you a chuckle or a little gratitude?
Yeah.
You know, so
you're,
I think
you're,
of
you're
it.
You're a beacon of light and through your music, through your writings, and through your presence, Michael. And I'm so grateful that you joined us here today.
Me too, Christine. Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure to talk.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again sometime real soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. InformationTalkRadio.com.